Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text we're going to consider is Ralph's confirmation verse. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ, Cheryl, Ron, Rhonda, Carla, Kathy, family, and friends of Ralph, a blessed day this is. A blessed day. As a saint, one of God's children has gone home to rest and wait until the day, that day when the Lord Jesus will return to gather us together around his throne, to that place he has prepared for us. Ralph longed for that day. Not because he desired to be parted from you, but because he desired to be with Christ. Not because you did not love him or care for him, but because his heart and mind was fixed on the promises of Christ and on the person and work of Christ. A person he wanted you to know, a person that he confessed throughout his life, so that his passing would not be a loss, but just a short absence from you all who he loved. These words that were given to Ralph, we'll talk about in just a second, but they're quite appropriate. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Ralph lived that life, a life confessing Christ. He was baptized long, long ago. Baptized and confirmed. The Lord rescued Ralph from himself. The reason Jesus came into the world is because if he hadn't come, if he hadn't done what he did, we would not be safe or saved. Nor would we have a future that anyone would want to look at. Nor would we probably gather together in a place like this to ponder what this end means. Ralph was saved from sin, death, and the devil, all of which he inherited by birth, ultimately from Adam. Nothing in the world could rescue him from that destiny. Certainly nothing he could do, for the scripture says that if you've sinned in one part of the law, you're guilty of the whole thing. And the payment is eternal death and suffering. It's quite clear, and it's quite ominous. Nothing in the world could rescue him, and not even his person, his work, not even in the service or as a churchman. Rather, he needed to be rescued. He needed to be saved. He needed to be redeemed. And that's where Christ comes in. For his name is the Lord Saves. For he is the only one that can save us. He is the only one that does save us. The Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and he came into this little town in the middle of Illinois and found Ralph in this little town of Altamont. And we heard that this morning in the epistle lesson, pastors are instruments. It is God who's doing the work. When the word is preached, when baptism is done, he laid his hands on Ralph and said, Ralph, you're mine. Ralph, I want you in heaven with me. And he washed away his sins, and he put his name on Ralph, and he put his name in his heart and in his mind. A name unlike any other name, for there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Only Christ. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so on his confirmation day, the pastor gave him this confirmation verse. It's a rather interesting one. As I read it and then I look for context, I thought, wow, that's an interesting verse. As a pastor, having done a few funerals in my life, you get used to certain texts that are common. But this is an interesting one because it comes in the section where Jesus is sending out his disciples to do his work. He's sending out his disciples in the midst of this fallen world to preach the gospel. Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father. Jesus sending out his servants to serve and to reap the harvest. Did the pastor for a moment consider that Ralph might have been someone to inhabit that office? I don't know. It's too many years ago. Maybe somebody knows. But the context is hard to miss. And the text is an interesting one. And so Ralph confessed. Now the word confess doesn't mean, I'm going to search down deep in my heart and tell you what I think. The word confess means to say the same thing. Like a little child who learns what things are. What's that? And you teach them the words. So Ralph learned to speak the words his father spoke to him. To say the same thing. Ralph, you're a sinner. And he said that regularly. He said that even about a week and a half before he died, when I gave him communion the last time. He effectively confessed it a couple days before his death when I was in there and prayed with him and had a devotion. He wasn't shy about confessing those things. For you see, those are the words of God to us. He says, here, Ralph, is the sickness that you have been bearing. And he confessed it. Ralph, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Sure, Lord. You speak the truth about me. Ralph confessed the words that God has placed in his heart, confessing his sin regularly in this church at communion, agreeing with God that he needed and desired Christ. The purpose of learning about Christ and learning about your sin is so that you see the need and you have a desire and an appetite for Christ, for his word. See, if you don't think you need saving, Christ doesn't mean a whole lot to you. I mean, you think you're all right. His life was one of confessing the words which God gave him. And these words gave him strength. God preached them into his ears, into his heart, and he love to hear that. As he waited in the nursing home, waited, that's what he was doing. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. His family came in, played sermons for him, read to him, and from what I was told, his roommate wanted to be there and listen. He confessed Christ, even in a situation that was fairly sad, difficult. You see, confessing Christ is not about being happy. It's not about your emotions. It has nothing to do with your emotions. As a matter of fact, just read Job. Just read Jeremiah. Just read the whole of the Bible. Ralph and Carol used to come to Wednesday morning Bible class, and the first book we studied is a book called The Problem of Suffering. If God is good and God is all-powerful, why do bad things happen? We sat around in that room, and each one of us wept at one time or another, and we learned about the Psalms of Lament. We learned that God teaches us even how to complain when we didn't like things, the way things were going. The last time I saw Ralph, he told me how he really felt. He was not shy about that. And that was heartening. No pretense with him. I'm a sinner, Pastor. I'm struggling. It's hard to be here. And of course, if we remember all of those things, he was blessed. He was blessed with a family. The love of a mother, a father, brothers and sisters, a dear wife and children, a house that he loved. I got to know him when he moved out here, and I think he and Carol really loved that place. A rich life, which he knows he did not deserve, but which came as a gift. And he was thankful for it. But it is also a blessed life in the midst of a fallen world. The struggles of living in a fallen world. Yet Christ's love established him. Christ established and rooted him when life became somewhat overwhelming. I told the group last night, I remember the words when he said, Pastor, the golden years are not so golden. I remember that. I don't know that I ever heard it before, although it's a common saying from what I understand. At that time, he had discovered he had a hole in his heart, then myasthenia gravis and cancer and loss of sight. And you could go down the list. And then the death of his dear wife. And from that time on, it was, I want to be at home. With this dear friend of mine. Christ. But also the Christ who loved Carol and took her safely home. And his mom and his dad. Giving up that house, that's a hard thing. It was a good thing Ralph learned how to complain. Learned how to pray those psalms of lament. God taught him those things because he loved him. He never pretended. God never pretends that this world's going to be all good. He said it's a valley of sorrows, a vale of tears. Giving up that house and moving into a care facility or two, that was not easy. That's never easy. Nobody feels at home there. But Ralph took it in stride, and he was doing laps. Sometimes I'd have to go search him out. That was a big place. Found him with the ladies a couple times. But eternal life, where true gold is found, that was not going to be here. Eternal life, where gold truly doesn't corrupt, that was something that he knew was in the future. And so in the midst of the long struggles, Christ was on his lips. Now, I think people get this idea that, well, that was his choice, that's what he did, that's the work. No, it's not. Those words were given him by God. The Spirit taught him, and he confessed those words because God had given him faith. And day in and day out, he called out to Christ. He called out to Christ. He knew that Christ was his Savior from sin, death, and the devil. Christ was going to bring him home. Christ was going to get him through this. Christ had walked through the valley of the shadow of death, so he had no need to fear any evil. He would confess Christ because there isn't anything else in this world. Christ was on his lips. He was determined to go home. And when his sadness and his impatience wore on him and he said things he didn't particularly, well, he wasn't proud of, he called on Christ for forgiveness and mercy. And so we rejoice that Christ, who created this faith in Ralph, will keep his promise on that last day. And we can lay him in the ground today, and it will not be easy. And when we lay him in the ground, listen carefully to the agenda. The agenda. For it will be saying the same thing Ralph said all of those years. Ralph did not boast about himself. He doesn't tell you how good he is. Don't listen to those things. That's one of the hardest things to do, is to get your mind focused on how good this person was laying out there in the graveyard. No, he confessed Christ. And the agenda will say, Christ, who washed and bought and saved this body, will keep it. Christ will keep it. That's one of the safest places to be in the world, unlike some horror shows. Why? Because those are God's saints, and he promises to keep them until he comes again. And he promises to call them on that last day. And he promises to be their advocate and stand with them before God when all the books are open and everything will be known. Every sin, every thought, every deed will be laid out there. And God will look at us and say, is that yours? And we will say, yes. And then the advocate will speak. Our advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he will say, no, they're mine. They're mine. For I took them upon myself, and I went to the cross at Calvary, and I paid every last debt this man owed, and I gave him my righteousness. And so, Father, he is fit to be with you forever. That's Christ, our advocate, our Savior, our King. And we rejoice that we can go out and stand by a grave and know that the one whose words have never failed, whose words do what they say, will bring Ralph home. We lay him to rest, not with a eulogy, but with Christ's words. We lay him to rest, declaring the works of God for his precious saints, for who die in the faith, who will rise again and enter into that eternal kingdom. We gather today and we confess Christ. You've already done it. You've already done it. And it is in Christ and Christ alone we find comfort and strength at times like this, when the grief is hard, when the sadness overwhelms. There's Christ. There's Christ. There's Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your heart.